But because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this week. We thank you for those who have come and shared their burdens and their concerns. And Lord, may we catch a glimpse of what is needed and necessary to continue the sending forth of the gospel. Thank you for these that are here today. And Lord, we just pray now that you'd have your hand upon us this day, and we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll continue reading there in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 9. Ephesians 5 and verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand that the wise of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 1, be therefore followers of God. Our God is not Allah. Amen. Our Lord is Jehovah. Amen. Remember that the humanists will tell you that all ways lead to God. Folks, there's only one way that leads to God, and that's Jesus Christ. And we live in a world that is trying to be politically correct. The problem is that being politically correct a lot of times will put you on that broad way that leads you to hell. Good intentions will not get you into heaven. Having a pocket full of good works will not get you into heaven. There is only one way, and that is to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, walk in love. There may be no harder command from our Lord than to walk in love. You know, anger is not love. Jealousy is not love. Bitterness is not love. Cantankerousness, is that a word, cantankerousness? Dad, is that a word? It is now. That is not love. Those are things of the flesh. What we need to realize is that we need to walk in love. Verses 3 through 5 tell us that we are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. And notice it talks about those things that we're not to have. Fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness, etc. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. We need to realize that we are in this world, but we're not to be of it. Folks, don't put your roots down too deeply. Don't put your roots down, because this is not where we're going to end up, folks. There's a better place awaits the believer. We find in verses 6 through 8 that we're not to let anyone deceive us. Folks, there are a lot of liars out there in our society. There are a lot of people that are trying to convince you that you're okay. Now, when I'm talking about you, I'm not necessarily talking about you. Does that make sense? Okay? But there are people out there that are telling you that if you're immoral, well, that's okay. As long as you're not hurting anybody. Folks, immorality hurts people. I tell you what, that when you have following the wrong teachers, it'll take you in the wrong places. Don't be deceived by false teachers. Don't be deceived by false doctrines. Don't be deceived by false religions. We are to be the children of the light. And we are to walk in the light. Folks, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And we are to reflect that light. Let me say this. A number of years ago, my wife and I went to a cavern, Seneca Caverns. Anybody ever been to Seneca Caverns? We went there. We paid $10 for, or $5 or $4, whatever it was, to be taken on the tour. And they took us to the end of the road and they turned off the lights. And then they said, it's going to cost you that much for us to turn the lights back on. When they turned off the light, folks, it was dark. I don't know how far we were from the entrance into Seneca Caverns, but it was dark. But you know what? If we'd have had one light, all the darkness could not have put out the light. We are the light of the world because we are reflecting Christ's love. Let's not put out our light. Let's let our light shine brightly for the cause of Christ. Verse 14 says, "Awake, thou that sleepest." Let me tell you this. Last night, I don't remember my head hitting the pillow. I remember getting into bed. I remember pulling the sheet over me and the cover. And that's the last thing I remember. I guess I was tired. But you know, when you're asleep, you don't see anything because your eyes are closed. There's no vision. Folks, we need to have a vision. The vision is this, that men and women are dying and going to hell. But if we're asleep spiritually, we have no vision and the people what? Perish. Let's wake up out of our sleep. We get no nourishment. When you're asleep, are you eating? You hope not, right? Yeah. I worked with a guy when I was in Bible college. His name was Bobby. Bobby Allman. Bobby Allman at that point in time had been married 7 times. He was on his 7th wife. He would divorce her. And the last time I talked to him, he was married to his 8th wife. I can't believe I could get 8 different women who'd want to marry me. I'm surprised one wanted to marry me. But thank you, Brother Bob. But Bobby Allman, and I've told this before, he had beside his bed a coffee pot that brewed coffee all night long. And he would wake up sometime during the night and smoke a cigarette and drink coffee. And I asked him one time, I said, "Why do you do that?" Well, he says, "Why not? Doesn't everybody?" I said, "No." But you know, most of us, when we go to sleep, we don't wake up in the middle of the night to get a snack, do we? I mean, you don't. Sometimes. But when you're asleep, you're not taking nourishment. Folks, we need to be awake and taking nourishment of the Word of God. We need to realize that no work is done when we're asleep. The proverbial thought of laying down on the job comes from someone that is asleep when they should be working. When I was working for the Arlington Community Schools one summer, I was there at Arlington High School. And during the summer, it was our responsibility to scrape the gum off the bottom of all the desks and tables. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you've ever put gum on the bottom of a desk or a table. And I'm not going to ask you if you have, when you found a piece of gum on the bottom of it, if you scraped it off and put it in your mouth. But I remember there were 2 guys there that they had given the task and they were given the putty knives and they were in the room and I couldn't find them. I was supposed to get them and make sure that they were doing their job. And I walked behind a table. They had put it on its side and they both were asleep. They were quite embarrassed when I kicked the table and said, hey! And they went back to work. But if you're asleep, you're not getting anything done. And the Bible tells us that we're to wake up. And folks, in this critical time in history, we need Christians to be awake and vibrant for the cause of Christ. But let's read verse 15 together once again. So then, that ye walk, see then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We were to walk in love, and now we're to walk circumspectly. I dare say, and I don't know this for a fact, but I doubt anybody last week, since this is the first day of a new week, I doubt any of you last week used the word circumspectly. If you used that word last week, would you raise your hand so we could applaud? Circumspectly. We are instructed to walk cautiously. Folks, be cautious of what is out there. Don't believe everything you hear in the name of Christ. Let me give you an example. Missionaries showed up here yesterday. They came a little bit early because they wanted to stop at the Christian bookstore over here at Hall Road and Shaner. You know where it's at? They walked in there and they said they could not believe what they saw in a, quote, Christian, unquote, bookstore. You say, well, it's a Christian bookstore. Shouldn't everything in there be Christian? Well, if you're going to use the word Christian, everything in there should be Christian. I've walked in there and I've gone up to the person at the register and I said, why are you playing that music? And they go, well, why not? And I go, well, that's what I would expect to hear in a bar. And they said, well, the manager wants us to play that. I said, well, if you want, I will tell you what to play. They're not too happy with that. But see, what has happened is the world has creeped in to so many areas of our life and said, hey, this is the way to go. But we are to walk cautiously. We are to be watchful. We are to be prudent. We are to be guarded in our minds because of what is out there trying to lead us astray. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let me ask you this. Is he hard on your heels right now? Is he coming after you because you have drifted from Christ? Folks, we need to stay as close to Christ as possible. Because when we wander away, bad things can happen. We think of children that have been kidnapped and have been killed by those who have kidnapped them. In every case was the, in any of those cases, was the kid close to his mother or dad? No. He had drifted away. I remember one time when Matthew drifted away from Don and me. Now, I don't know how to say that. I mean, why my wife let him drift away, I have no idea. But when she realized that he wasn't there, she went looking for him. And may I say this, she didn't go, Matthew, oh, did I tell you which son it was? You know who it is now. What's that? It was Brian. I guess that's why she didn't say Matthew. Are you sure it was Brian?
I'm the mother.
You're the mother. She didn't go around saying, Brian. Brian, what did she do?
Brian.
We're there at Sears. And she's calling up Brian. Every mother in the room, though, knew what was happening. Every mother knew. We found him. Yes, but you know the fact of the matter is Satan will be hard on our heels when we drift away from our Lord. We are to walk circumspectly. Are you sure it was Brian? Verse 16a, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. We need to use the time properly, wisely. The book of 2 Timothy 3:15 or 3:1 says that in the last days perilous times shall come. Here in verse 16 it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. They were evil back in Paul's days and they're still evil today. And we need to realize we live in a world that is struggling. Would you agree with that, that our world is struggling? Civil unrest, social unrest, financial unrest, worldwide unrest, religious unrest, and they're all due to the evil nature of mankind. I was listening to a conversation of two English men, and one said that in the 1960s that God had been removed from society. And the other said, what did they replace him with? We live in a world today that wants to declare there is no God. And if there is, we don't need him. But we've replaced him with alcohol and drugs and sports and education and health reform and global concerns and money and immorality. But the fact of the matter is you can never replace God. I don't care what you have, what the world needs now and what it needed in 1960 and what it needed in AD 60 was Jesus Christ. And if they don't know about Jesus Christ, how can they accept him as Savior? Please, if you would, the book of Romans chapter 10. You may want to keep your place here. We have to come back to verse 17 in just a minute. But Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And may I say this, this may be the greatest missionary part of the New Testament. And when I'm talking about New Testament missions, right here. Beginning at verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? We heard on Friday from Brother Wyrick taking Bibles to people in Korea, and they didn't know who Jesus Christ was. How can they be saved if they don't know who Jesus Christ is? Notice, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they what? Be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The beautiful feet of those who take the gospel. We think of Brother Patton going down there to Dominican Republic. You got beautiful feet, buddy, because you're taking the peace of truth of the Word of God. And we have men and women who have the desire to do the very same thing. How shall they preach except they be sent? And then verse 17 back in Ephesians chapter 5, I'll read it for you. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Number one, first, it's to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're going to be in the will of God, you must come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Second, we are to be baptized by immersion. This is the will of God, to be baptized by immersion. If you were in Sunday school, you saw the baptistry that Brother Patton gets to use when he baptizes. What a beautiful baptistry. I've been to a couple. We were in Honduras and we baptized right there by a waterfall. I thought that was great. We got to put one in right here. Number three, we are to be actively involved in a Bible preaching church. The Lord's will is that we are involved in a church. And number four, that we are glad to give. For God loveth what? A cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. In just a few minutes, we'll be asking you to sign your commitment papers. This is something between you and the Lord. But let us stand first, and we're going to sing a song of invitation, 401. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has never done step one of accepting Christ as their Savior, and you'd like to come and get that right with God. Maybe you'd like to come forward for baptism or to join the church. May I say this? We want to be within the will of God. Because that's where the blessings are in His will. 401, only trust Him. We'll sing that in a moment. But first, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that You would bless this invitation time. We ask, Lord, now that You would be with each individual here and touch their heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.